Blog Talk Radio.
For radio as godless as our Constitution, tune in to Free Thought Radio.
We're concentrating on the looming threat of Christian nationalism.
First, we'll preview the new documentary, God and Country, produced by Rob Reiner.
Then we'll hear lots of scary clips by public officials recently espousing Christian nationalism.
That's coming up after headlines from the United Nations.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. The UN's top Middle East envoy briefed the Security Council on Thursday, highlighting that after months of unrelenting war in Gaza and tensions spilling into the wider region, there's still no end in sight to the fighting. Tor Wennesland said that there was no end to the trauma of those impacted by the horrors unleashed on the 7th of October in Israel, and no end to the suffering and desperation of people in Gaza. He was in the shattered enclave earlier this week and described the humanitarian situation there as shocking, unsustainable and desperate. Christopher Lockyer, Secretary General of Médecins Sans Frontières, or Doctors Without Borders, said he was appalled by the United States' repeated use of its veto power to obstruct efforts demanding a ceasefire, as it did again on Tuesday this week. "We live in fear of a ground invasion in Rafah," he said. Calling Washington's new proposed draft resolution misleading at best, he said the Council should reject any resolution that will further hamper humanitarian efforts on the ground and also tacitly endorses the continued violence and mass atrocities in Gaza. Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, entering its third year, has exacted a horrific human cost, inflicting immense suffering on millions of civilians that will be felt for generations, UN Human Rights Chief Volker Türk said on Thursday. The war continues to cause serious and widespread human rights violations, destroying lives and livelihoods, he said in a statement, launching the latest UN Human Rights Monitoring Mission report. It verified 30,457 civilian casualties since the 24th of February 2022, including 10,582 killed and 19,875 people injured, with the actual numbers likely to be significantly higher. Millions have been displaced, thousands have lost their homes, and hundreds of medical and educational institutions have been damaged or destroyed, significantly impacting people's rights to health and education. And the UN independent expert on the situation of human rights in Russia called for accountability and solidarity with all the war's victims, including Russian activists. The war has devastated millions of Ukrainians and unleashed a war against Russians at home, Mariana Katsarova said in a statement on Thursday. And finally, UN Refugee Agency UNHCR on Thursday welcomed this week's adoption by the African Union of a protocol to eradicate statelessness and advance inclusion for millions without a country to call home on the continent. It was adopted last weekend during the AU Assembly of the Heads of State and Governments. UNHCR stressed that statelessness is a worldwide phenomenon, with those affected denied the right to recognition as citizens of any country. As a result, they're often prevented from full social participation, becoming politically and economically marginalized, and vulnerable to discrimination, exploitation, and abuse. The protocol seeks to provide solutions to legal barriers that will ensure that stateless people and those at risk of statelessness can exercise their rights and have better access to them, as well as national services such as health, education, and the right to work legally. Matt Wells, UN News.
This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Welcome to Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. This is the February 22nd, 2024 episode of Free Thought Radio. Tori Neals is our engineer in the Stephen Ohl Friendly Atheist Studio, which is in Free Thought Hall, which is the national office of the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Madison, Wisconsin.
And Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From, emphasis on From, Religion Foundation, or FFRF, which is a state church watchdog around the country and also serves as the nation's largest association of freethinkers, people who form their opinion about religion based on reason. So you might be an atheist, agnostic, skeptic, secular humanist. We really don't care what you call yourself, but we do care that you believe in free thought and you believe in freedom from religion in our government as our Constitution requires. And you can find out more information and join us at FFRF.org.
And today we're going to concentrate on the looming threat of Christian nationalism, not just to society, but to our government. And we'll also talk about the new documentary film produced by Rob Reiner called God and Country.
And before that, we'll speak with FFRF Equal Justice Works legal fellow Kat Grant about the amicus brief they wrote arguing that Oregon's foster care religious exemption challenge should be denied.
We have a TV show, a weekly TV show called Free Thought Matters. And this week, we're talking with the atheist chaplain of an atheist prisoner who was on death row in Oklahoma. The chaplain's name is Devin Moss.
The story made headline news in the New York Times. Devin was at the execution. The inmate, Philip Hancock, was an atheist, but I asked Devin if the prisoner was an atheist at the time of the crime.
You know, he grew up with doubts of faith. You know, he grew up in an abusive household. He says that the first time he actually remembers doubting his Christian upbringing was when he was 6 years old, and there was a crucifix in his house, and he remembers staring at it and questioning the benevolence of, you know, what he was taught that Jesus espoused. And so it was throughout his life, he always wrestled with this. And I would say that it came and went. But at the time that these killings happened, he was a man of faith. Phil didn't always make the best decisions, but man, was he dealt a set of cards that would make anybody doubt their faith in God.
You can watch that episode of Free Thought Matters right now on the Free Thought Matters playlist at FFRF's YouTube channel.
And it's a very chilling but also very moving interview. If you live in Chicago, Los Angeles, New York City, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., where Free Thought Matters is broadcast on local television, you can watch that show every Sunday morning. It's broadcast Sunday evening here in Madison, Wisconsin. For stations and times in your area, check out ffrf.org/freethoughtmatters. You can also find the show under the news dropdown on FFRF's main webpage.
And speaking of news, there's a lot of news, but let's start with FFRF news.
We've been telling you over the years that our attorneys are very busy writing letters of complaint to violators of state church separation around the country. And Sammy Lawrence, who's one of the attorneys here, she wrote a letter to an Iowa high school. The Urbandale Community School District will now ensure, we have a victory because of her letter, that its basketball program will stay free from religious entanglement. An adult representative of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, that's a religious group, was inappropriately involved in the high school basketball program and was serving as a character coach, an outside person, for the boys' basketball program at the high school. And, for example, they met for a pregame chapel, and they were praying and talking about Jesus. This representative did not appear to be employed by the school district. So Sammy Lawrence wrote a letter. We urge the district not to allow outside private Christian people to come in to direct religious worship at the school. And the district legal counsel responded to us saying, as a result of your letter, the district has taken steps to ensure that If the teams hold chapels or prayer events, they will be entirely student-led and student-initiated. They also made it clear that the representative from the fellowship chapter, Central Iowa Fellowship Chapter, would not be permitted to be represented as a character coach for the program. Then in North Carolina, Annie Laurie and I wrote a letter to the Monroe City Council because they're having not only prayer, but it appears like religious revival meetings during their board meetings. For example, just last week, they included not just a prayer, but also the Wingate University's gospel choir, Soulful Sounds, came and performed a song, Better Is One Day in Your House.
Well, maybe we can get them to invite Godless Gospel. We should have put that in the letter.
Yeah, we can come and sing for them too. And then the Shining Light Baptist Church pastor delivered an overtly Christian prayer talking about God dealing with the wicked and the evil and so on, and then closing in Jesus' name. So we are encouraging to stop, because what about all the non-Christians in that community? And what about...
And they're not a Christian city, and this is not a Christian nation, so...
Right.
Even if everybody was Christian in that town, it's inappropriate to have a Christian prayer
right at
a government meeting.
Well, our complainant was one of those who felt like an outsider. Now, over to Idaho, we are encouraging the Idaho Attorney General not to hire a religious right Christian group called the Alliance Defending Freedom to defend the state from a Biden administration challenge against Idaho's abortion ban.
And that case has been heard, unfortunately, by the Supreme Court. And so they hired this pernicious group.
ADF is...
to represent them.
...is an extremist group designated by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group for support of criminalizing consensual sex between gay people, sterilizing transgender people, lying about homosexuality, and... allowing Christian businesses to discriminate against gay people and so on.
And not to mention being totally anti-abortion and being part of the whole movement to abolish abortion, which is why this creep hired them in the first place.
Well, the Attorney General of the state is duty-bound to serve the people of Idaho, not including all the women in his state, not just the agenda of this religious right group.
Right. There's a conflict of interest is what we pointed out. So... I'm sure you're well aware that there have been some major events nationally in the news affecting religion and abortion rights, and that would be this outrageous ruling by the Alabama Supreme Court. Actually, it happened on Friday of last week that rules that frozen embryos, and really they're frozen blastocytes, you know, 3 or 4 days old, are legally children, which is going to put a stop to IVF, it looks like. That's already happening in Alabama. And it, what was so outrageous is that the concurrence by the Chief Justice was riddled with references to God and Bible. Unbelievable. It's hard to think of a more un-American ruling. Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice Tom Parker said that the theologically based view of the sanctity of life encompasses the following. God made every person in his image. Each person, therefore, has a value that far exceeds the ability of human beings to calculate. And human life cannot be wrongfully destroyed without incurring the wrath of a holy God who views the destruction of his image as an affront to himself. And it goes on and on like that. He must talk about God's wrath several times. It's an insult. It effaces his glory, Dan.
And this case started because somebody accidentally dropped one of the vials of embryos.
Several vials, and some of the couples sued for wrongful death.
Yeah, manslaughter, wrongful death.
Which is outrageous. They could have sued for something, but it also cites, it's the theocracy. In writing, it also cites a couple of Bible verses which are so limp and weak. And we have on our website, what does the Bible really say about abortion? Nothing. So this is the fanaticism, and it shows the driving force behind the move to abolish abortion, and it is religion. But we also have to point out that if you were pro-life, this is going to mean that desperate couples wanting to have babies, wanting to have children, will not be able to in Alabama. And if you are pro-life, why wouldn't IVF be a sacrament?
In vitro fertilization.
This makes no sense. And there's at least 10% of couples go through this. So things are getting very, very bleak here in the United States. It is time to take alarm and rise up against this theocracy that we are seeing. And we'll be talking more about that in a minute. And then finally, of course, there was an article about Chief Justice Alito on the U.S. Supreme Court, making it pretty clear that marriage equality is next on the chopping block. And this was in a case also involving religion that they decided not to hear, where two religious jurors were struck from hearing a civil rights case over bias against a lesbian in a hiring-firing discrimination case. And they weren't struck because they were Christian, but because of their prejudicial views that came out in the jury voir dire.
And don't judges have that discretion?
Yeah, and well, the Supreme Court decided to take it, but he issued a 5-page statement, resentful as always, full of grievance as always, about how it looks like that Obergefell, the decision that allows marriage equality, gay marriage, is bringing this terrible thing, which he says is that those who have adherence to traditional religious beliefs about homosexual conduct will be labeled as bigots and treated as such by the government. And this is what he is saying. So it's this Christian privileging. It's the Christians who are being persecuted when they want to take away rights from other people, not the people they're persecuting. And this is scary stuff coming from the guy who overturned Dobbs. So that's next.
So speaking of Supreme Court justices, on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Justice Clarence Thomas came under fire for accepting, as we all know, lavish gifts. Well, John Oliver has a solution.
Right now, it feels like the Supreme Court is at a breaking point. And there are small ways to fix that, from a real enforceable ethics code to term limits to even potentially expanding the court. But if we're not going to do any of that, if we're going to keep the bar of accountability this low, perhaps it's time to exploit that low bar the same way billionaires have successfully done for decades. And that finally brings us to the solution that I mentioned at the start of this piece, because Clarence Thomas is arguably the most consequential justice on the court right now. And he never really seems to like the job. So what if he can keep the luxury perks that he clearly enjoys without having to endure all of that grief? Well, I think there might actually be a way to do that, because Justice Thomas, we have a special offer for you tonight. We are prepared to offer you $1 million a year for the rest of your life if you simply agree to leave the Supreme Court immediately and never come back. It is that simple. Just sign this contract. Resign, and the money is all yours. But as they keep pointing out, there are no rules in place to stop me from doing this. But this offer is not forever. You have exactly 30 days from midnight tonight to make the resignation effective. And if you are still on the fence, I actually have a little deal sweetener that I'm excited to show you. So please, come with me. Just come. Because we know you've got a lot on your plate. Since your favorite mode of travel might be in need of an upgrade, we are excited to offer you Look at this beauty, Clarence. It's worth $2.4 million. And it's got a full bedroom, 1.5 baths, 4 TVs, a washer dryer, and a residential-sized fridge. And if you're thinking, what will my friends say if I take this off? Will they judge me? Will they still treat me to luxury vacations and sing songs about me off their phones? Well, that's the beauty of friendship, Clarence. If they're real friends, they'll love you no matter what your job is. So I guess this might be the perfect way to find out who your real friends actually are. The clock starts now. 30 days, Clarence. Let's do this. That's our show. Thank you so much for watching.
So, of course, that's talking about Leonard Leo giving him a motorhome and all the other perks that he has received from his right-wing friends. So, pretty funny.
Yeah, it is. Well, let's see if he responds. He won't, but that is funny. So we're taking a break, and when we come back, FFRF's Equal Justice Social Works legal fellow, Kat Grant, will tell us about a new legal brief that they just filed or FFRF. And then we'll talk about the new film, God and Country.
And also, just in generally, the growing dangers of Christian nationalism.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective association of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate, just like our founding fathers intended. Please support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, and we're continuing our talk about the pernicious effects of Christian nationalism. And we have with us in the studio today FFRF's Equal Justice Works legal fellow, Kat Grant, who will tell us about a new legal brief they just filed for FFRF.
Welcome back.
Always great to be here. Always happy to talk.
Great to have you here. So I never know if it's amicus brief or amicus brief, but that's
honestly, I think it's either. I think you can say amicus. I think you can say amicus. I think it's a fun, like, Rorschach test of a person's personality. Don't know what it means, but you can say either.
So this was a brief, not before the Supreme Court, but before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, correct? And
yes,
I think
correct.
It's a rather complicated case, but it has...
It is both complicated and also incredibly straightforward, as I think a lot of our cases tend to be, where you look at the situation and you're like, yeah, of course, this is the correct outcome. And then the opposing counsel and the courts tend to make it a lot more complicated than it ever needs to be.
So you said straightforward? Yeah.
You know... you know, I've never done anything straight in my life, but this might be one of those things.
So tell us about the case.
Right. So this case centers around an Oregon woman named Jessica Bates, who she is a widow. She has several children, and one day was driving and was listening to a radio show where the guest on the show was talking about his experience as a Christian adopting children. And she felt that that was a sign to fulfill the biblical Christian obligation of visiting widows and orphans in their, it's like visiting them in their state or something like that. And so she started looking into adopting, and she decided she wanted to adopt a sibling set, two children under the age of 10, because her child, her youngest child at the time was 10 years old. She initially looked into international adoption in Colombia, and she was turned down, and she realized how expensive it would be and how hard it is to adopt as a single person. And so started looking through the public foster care and adoption system. So she decided to apply for a foster license with the intention of adopting. And she went through the class process. And part of that process, it's called the home study process. You take a class, and it is explained to you that the state of Oregon requires foster parents, amongst other things, to, and this is the pivotal language here, accept and support children, regardless of a bunch of different factors, including sexuality and gender orientation. Ms. Bates then proceeded to object to this, expressed that while she would be willing to take in a child and, quote, love this child as their own, regardless of gender or sexuality, she could not accept and support a child who has gender dysphoria and wants to express themselves as such, or who experiences same-sex attraction. She felt that that violated her religious beliefs. There's also a regulation that foster parents cannot coerce children into going to religious services or events that are at places that do not affirm their identities. And Ms. Bates also felt that that was an undue burden on her religious practice. So with the Christian nationalist outfit, the Alliance Defending Freedom, after her application was denied because she would not follow these completely neutral regulations, sued the state saying that it was more than an incidental burden on her religious practice. The district court said, no, this is a neutral law, you know, with neutral purposes. It is the basically the least restrictive way that they can ensure that LGBT kids are safe, because you cannot identify who is gay, straight, cis, trans, any identity. You cannot identify with kids, especially very young kids, who will be what.
Mm-hmm.
And she had all kinds of solutions that were proposed, you know, making it a placement decision, much like parents can express that they are not equipped to take on a severely disabled child. For example, they compared it to that. Or she suggested, oh, we can just rehome the child or make medical decisions based on, you know, the advice of a social worker.
So what did our amicus brief say about this from a legal perspective?
Yeah, right. 1.5 minutes.
So we had a two-part amicus brief. First, we argued essentially what I was just talking about, that there is no real way to make this work at the placement phase. Like, this is the policy that is most necessary to protect these highly vulnerable children. It's roughly 30%, I believe, of foster children are believed to be LGBT. That is massive overrepresentation. And there are so many negative effects associated with parental rejection and familial rejection that the state has an extremely compelling interest in protecting these kids. And therefore, the state needs to be able to make these regulations. The second part of our brief focused on all of the dominoes that come after that, so it can affect abuse reporting requirements and create exceptions for more traditional forms of physical and mental abuse. Educational neglect could get exempted, and very importantly, sexual abuse and the requirement to report sexual abuse could get exempted based on religious practice. So those were the two areas that we really honed in on.
It's very strong brief. We're very grateful that you wrote that on behalf of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And thank you so much, Kat.
Yeah, of course.
Kat Grant is FFRF's Equal Justice Works legal fellow.
And you can read that brief at our website under the news link.
So we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the new documentary about Christian nationalism produced by Rob Reiner called God and Country. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace.
Let's restore respect for America's secular roots. Help the Freedom From Religion Foundation defend the wall of separation between state and church. Join us at FFRF.org. Freedom depends on freethinkers.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. So for the rest of today's program, we're going to concentrate on the growing dangers of Christian nationalism.
Last week, we played the trailer of the new documentary produced by Rob Reiner called God and Country, dealing with Christian nationalism.
So God and Country opened last Friday around the country, and we hope you'll go see it if it's in your area to give it some support. And it was both frightening and gratifying at the same time. And I say gratifying because the film features a wide range of Christian authors and activists who are joining the secular movement in publicly denouncing the Christian nationalist movement. And, of course, it's terrifying because of the growing threat that this movement poses to our democracy. Millions of Americans think we do live in a Christian nation, and the film lets them speak for themselves.
I view the United States and its government under the values of God, God's law first.
I believe that we were founded as a Christian nation. I believe that we should be a Christian nation. It's literally in our Constitution.
We are a Christian nation. Our entire founding is based on those Judeo-Christian values.
I do not believe in the separation of church and state. You cannot take God out of anything.
We're one nation under God, and if we can't be a Christian nation, the light into the world, then the evil will reign, darkness will reign.
This excellent documentary pushes back against those Americans who think that we are one nation under God. This is not to say that before this film there weren't some early bird Christians speaking out. Three of them featured in God and Country: religious studies professor Anthea Butler, sociology professor Sam Whitehead, and the author Jamar Tisby contributed to the report on Christian nationalism at the January 6th insurrection that was produced 2 years ago by the Freedom From Religion Foundation and the Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty.
But it was nice to see a Christian nun in the film who opposes Christian nationalism, and refreshing to hear her acknowledge that the Bible says nothing about abortion.
The Bible doesn't say a word about abortion. For me as a Catholic sister, I think it should not be in the public square, but it has been an effective political way of raising money.
And it's also refreshing to see folks like Russell Moore, who's the editor of Christianity Today, and the evangelical pastor Doug Paget raise the alarm, as well as the repentant, now repentant, former anti-abortion activist Reverend Rob Schenck, who explained how the movement works to control its adherents by ginning up fear and anger.
Evangelical enterprises raise billions of dollars. Well, the way you get those contributions is by ginning up fear and anger.
If you're not willing to give up your nation to a woke agenda that's not left, it's liberal, it's out to destroy the very fabric of this nation, we're taking our nation back.
Well, now it's out of control.
You're so right. And it's important to hear the conservative commentator Charlie Sykes, originally a Wisconsin person, warned that we are on the precipice of radical minority rule.
Since there's no prospect that we're going to do anything about gerrymandering, and the Senate is created in such a way as to give massive disproportionate power to rural areas, I think that we are on the precipice of not just having minority rule, but having radical minority rule, by which I mean not only is the minority more radical, but a smaller portion of the electorate will have greater clout.
We Christians are standing up, and we are going to impose Christian rule in this country.
That documentary, God and Country, opens with footage showing the horrors of the January 6th insurrection, complete with Christian crosses, Jesus placards, and prayers on the Senate floor. Almost as chilling as seeing an American flag flying side by side with a Christian flag.
The director of this film, Dan Partland, does an excellent job honing in on the Christian nationalist ranting of current and historic televangelists, from historic Jerry Falwell to today's Greg Locke, and political leaders such as Ralph Reed, Tony Perkins, and Michael Flynn. The film's epiphany comes really from Sky Jathani. He's a pastor who also hosts Holy Post podcast. And in this movie, he observes that Trump is really a televangelist.
Donald Trump fits all the marks of a televangelist, right down to the crazy hair. He's this larger-than-life ego who promises you the world, right? No one can fix it but me. I can solve all the problems. I'll drain the swamp. I'll build the wall. And he flies around in a private jet. He's got gilded toilets and everything else. He is a televangelist. But instead of preaching gospel, he's preaching Christian nationalism. He's preaching this America first, make America great again gospel, which a lot of people were ready to hear.
So I thought that was really an amazing insight. Is it so surprising that a politician who acts like a televangelist received 84% of the white Christian evangelical vote in 2020? So now we come to some clips of Christian nationalist experts, a lot of whom you will recognize as previous guests of Free Thought Radio or our TV show, Free Thought Matters.
The executive producer of God and Country is the journalist Catherine Stewart, who wrote the book, The Power Worshippers, on which the film is based. And we have talked with Catherine on this show before.
Christian nationalism is basically the idea that America was founded as a so-called Christian nation and that our laws should be based on the Bible.
The truth is this. America was founded as a Christian nation.
We're taking back a country that is already ours.
And the Bible says that we'll take it by force. That's what the Bible says.
I wasn't joking about the ranting. Catherine Stewart deserves so much credit for bringing the dangers of Christian nationalism to light.
This is a movement that represents a minority of the population, but they have disproportionate influence in our politics precisely because they've got this infrastructure that serves to turn out the vote in disproportionate numbers. In a country where 40 to 50% of people don't vote, you don't need a majority to dominate an election cycle. All you need is a disproportionately activated and motivated and organized minority.
And that should be the cue to the nuns. You non-religious, religiously unaffiliated Americans who might be listening, or you know young people who may not be registered to vote who fall into that category, we need to get out the vote. At nearly 30% of the adult population, there are more atheists, agnostics, or nothing in particulars than there are white evangelicals, even though we don't get the press as voters like they do. And the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, largely fall on the opposite political spectrum from white evangelicals. In fact, they're leading the way with social justice. Rob Boston of Americans United for the Separation of State and Church agrees with Catherine Stewart.
The main thing to remember about Christian nationalism is, despite the use of the word Christian in it, it is largely a political movement. It's an agenda that seeks to change American society through politics. Andrew Seidel, a name familiar to listeners of this show, is an atheist and a constitutional attorney and author of the book, The Founding Myth, Why Christian Nationalism is Un-American. He debunks some of the Christian nationalist myths.
One of the things that I kind of specialize in is the myths and disinformation that make up the Christian nationalist identity. It's things like the Founding Fathers prayed at the Constitutional Convention, and that our laws are based on the Ten Commandments, and that George Washington knelt in the snow at Valley Forge and prayed. None of that is true, but it's accepted gospel, and these are the talking points and the dog whistles that Christian nationalists can use to communicate with each other.
And Andrew ably pointed out the importance of secular government.
It's impossible to have true religious freedom without a secular government. There is no freedom of religion without a government that is free from religion. Is the United States a Christian nation in the sense that we have a lot of Christians here? Sure. Is the United States a Christian nation in the sense that Christianity influenced our culture? Sure. Was the United States, our government, our constitution, our laws founded on Christian or Judeo-Christian principles? The answer to that is no, absolutely not.
The only mention of atheism in the film comes from Professor Anthea Butler, who worries.
What happens to atheists in this society? What happens to secular people? What happens to the people who don't believe this stuff?
We decree that America
So I think that where we're going is a very dangerous place.
Yeah, so what indeed happens to atheists in a Christian nation?
The film's only flaw, it seems, is that it largely fails to acknowledge any role that Christianity and the Bible have contributed to the ginning up of all that anger and fear. While it is vital to differentiate between Christian beliefs and the political movement of Christian nationalism, It's also important to note that not all is sweetness and light in the history of Christianity and biblical dictates.
The Bible is a behavioral grab bag. Yet Kristen Cobes Dumez, author of Jesus and John Wayne, and we've interviewed her on Free Thought Radio, insists that the answer is to go back to the Bible.
I think this is a really good time for Christians to go back to the scriptures, to look at what Jesus calls us to do, and then to take a look at your political views. The Bible is full of commands to not just love one's neighbor, to love one's enemies. Christian nationalism is going against the core teachings of Christianity.
So Ariza Aslan, author of Beyond Fundamentalism, insists this is not a movement about Christian values, it's a movement about Christian power. But don't Christian nationalists want to obtain power in order to force their brand of Christian values on the rest of us?
Well, it depends what you mean by Christian values. If Christianity is anything, it's based on the Bible. The anti-LGBTQ plus movement is fueled by the book of Leviticus, for example, which proclaims that homosexuals are an abomination and their blood shall be upon them.
And the Christian nationalist warriors look to their favorite New Testament passage, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." This is Ephesians 6:11, 18, being quoted all over the place. Christians have come a long way, baby, from the sexist biblical injunctions ordaining women's subservience and sinfulness, but those misogynist texts are still in a book that 20% of U.S. Christians believe is literal, and about half believe is the inspired word of God.
The closest we get to any criticism of religion in the film is Anthea Butler's statement that Christianity at its heart has always been violent.
One of the biggest fallacies about religion, and especially Christianity in particular, is that somehow it's going to make you meek and docile and understanding. When, as a matter of fact, we can look throughout history, whether we're talking about American history or we're talking about Roman history or anything else, that Christianity has also always been associated with violence. It's not just Islam. It's Christianity too. You don't get wars of religion without people believing that the cross is going to go before them and fight their battles.
I thought maybe this film should have been titled God or Country. Will we still have a country if Americans choose God over country? One interviewee in the film astutely analyzes that if democracy gets in the way, according to Christian nationalists, democracy has to go. Like Anthea Butler, I too am kept up at night worrying about democracy.
The thing that keeps me up at night is that we lose democracy and that this country slides into a theocratic nation.
Does that seem possible?
Yes. It's possible. It's absolutely possible. We're closer to it now than we ever have been before. America is on a precipice, and I personally don't know if we're going to stop ourselves from going over the other side.
Yeah, wow. The film points out that what we need to work for in order to combat Christian nationalism is a return to the principles of pluralism. Ariza Aslan said, pluralism is exactly what Christian nationalists do not want.
The biggest sin, if you will, of Christian nationalism is that it sees pluralism as a weakness and not what it is, the foundation of what it means to be American.
We should all be able to get along regardless of our different beliefs and views if we leave religion out of our laws and government.
So overall, God and Country is a refreshing and important documentary. Again, go see it if it's playing in your area. Give the film support. And here's hoping it'll wake up Americans to defend the pluralism at the voting booth this November. And when we come back, a brief survey of statements made by public officials who are Christian nationalists just in the last few weeks or so. We're going to keep you informed about this throughout the year because I've never seen anything like it.
So as we go out, we're hearing some music. This is Onward Christian Soldiers, but it's played in the Locrian mode, which the church used to call the devil's mode.
And I'm assuming you're playing this, right, Dan?
That's right. It's on the song Lucifer's Lament. We'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
Don Ardell, a life member of FFRF and promoter of Real Wellness Lifestyles. I'm no longer willing to say, in God I trust, so help me God, God bless America, or pretend America is more under a God than any other nation. Join the resistance to Christian nationalism and politicians more attentive to what they think God wants than the needs of their constituents. Let's make separation of church and state a reality and turn back the drift to theocracy. Support FFRF. Our freedom really does depend on freethinkers.
Speaking freely, thinking freely. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And Annie Laurie, last week you wrote a blog about Christian nationalism called Wake Up to the Growing Dangers of Christian Nationalism. And that blog can be found on our blog website called freethoughtnow.org.
And yeah, I'll be doing this once a month because it's just a flood of public officials, mostly public officials, making outrageous Christian nationalist pronouncements. And we can't do press releases every time they do it because there's too many. So it'll be a compendium. And by the way, I want to give credit to Michelle Goldberg, who was early to warn about Christian nationalism. She's the New York Times columnist now. She wrote the book Kingdom Coming in 2006. And we had her come and speak then. And then in 2017, we invited her to speak at our convention after Trump won. And this is what she pointed out.
The Christian right, the Christian nationalist movement that I wrote about in this book, it's a minority of this country, but it's now the minority that's in charge.
And it's not quite yet in charge again, but that's the goal.
She said that 7 years ago, and we're happy to announce that Michelle Goldberg will be back at our 2024 convention in late September this year in Denver.
Now, let's look at some of the alarming Christian nationalist pronouncements by public officials in the last few weeks.
Gina Swoboda is the new chair of the Arizona Republican Party. She told Steve Bannon in late January,
"Are you Superwoman?"
I am. I'm Wonder Woman.
Okay.
I'm fueled by God.
Empowered by the Holy Spirit?
I'm wearing the armor of God.
Amen.
There's that favorite quote.
Our Christian nationalist Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, invited California megachurch pastor Jack Hibbs to be a guest chaplain before the House of Representatives, even though the invitation broke the House rules, as the Congressional Freethought Caucus pointed out. Here is part of Hibbs's prayer.
Almighty God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, hear my cry that we might be humbly blessed before you in the repentance of our national sins. You, Almighty God, are the source of all wisdom.
And of course, the Congressional Freethought Caucus and FFRF complained because Jack Hibbs is a pronounced Christian nationalist. The following alarming remark was made by U.S. Representative Mary Miller of Illinois.
We need people that fear God, that believe they can't hide from God, and ultimately they're going to give account to God. Those are the best people to hold positions, whether right. It's local or in the federal government.
Yeah, people who believe in superstition and ghosts. We need them running our government. Even though our Constitution bans a religious test for public office, Michigan State Representative Reschke went one step further.
You don't want a materialist. You don't want an atheist. You don't want a Muslim. You want somebody who understands what truth is and understands the nature of man, the nature of government, and the nature of God.
So there you have it. Christian nationalism, where you can't even be in public office if you're not a Christian. And we're seeing an alarming wave of bills being introduced to allow Christian chaplains into our public schools as guidance counselors. It started with a Texas law. The law's author, Senator Mays Middleton, recently revealed the true purpose.
This allows students, faculty, staff to freely exercise their religion and have this tool available if someone to talk to from a godly perspective, because chaplains represent God and government. And that's what we need more of in this country.
So no, we need to get God out of government. We have a godless constitution. One cannot emphasize that enough. I wish that would have been said in that film, God and Country. It was said, but not as directly. And we are calling on your help to keep this nation secular. The Freedom From Religion Foundation's purpose is to defend the separation of state and church and to make sure that the voices of dissent are not drowned out and that our rights are also upheld. And we have over 40,000 members around the country, and if you are a member, we thank you. If you are not a member, we would love to have you join us at ffrf.org. $40 a year gets you 10 issues a year of our new newspaper, Free Thought Today. We are also very glad to send copies of that out, either by PDF or paper, and our brochure about our 45-plus years of achievements by clicking the Ask for Info link at our website at ffrf.org. We really also need everyone to get very committed about getting out the vote, especially young people who are tend to be nuns who have the non-religious affiliation.
Nuns, N-O-N-E-S.
Yes, and they care about these issues, but they aren't necessarily politically engaged. We've got to get out the vote. And we also have a new C4 arm, FFRF Action Fund, which is doing a huge amount of legislative work both at the federal and state levels. And we'll be doing some endorsements later this year as well. And you can also become an advocate for free at ffrf.org Action Fund and get action alerts on things that affect you. So check all of this out. Check out the Freedom From Religion Foundation at our website at ffrf.org.
And come to our convention in September. Not just Michelle Goldberg, but Ron Reagan is accepted to come?
Yes.
Great. Well, that's our show for today. Free Thought Radio is recorded in the Stephen Ohl Friendly Atheist Studio in Free Thought Hall. We want to say hello to listeners in Philadelphia, New Jersey, to WOOMLP. In Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, to WZML. In Madison, Wisconsin, to WIDEFM and WMUULP. In Janesville, Wisconsin, to WADR Community Radio. In College Station, Bryan, Texas, to KEOS. In San Marcos, Texas, to KZSM. Over in Columbia, Missouri, KOPN. In Eugene, Oregon, KEPW. In Bellows Falls, Vermont, WOOL, Black Sheep Radio. In Kingston, Rhode Island, WRIU. And in Ithaca and Watkins Glen, New York, WRFI. If you listen to us on the podcast, give us a thumbs up on your provider. Tell your friends and family to learn more about Free Thought Radio at ffrf.org.
And tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us.
it seems to me I've heard that song before. It's from an old familiar score. I know it well, that melody. It's funny how it seems recalls a favorite dream. I've heard that song before. The lyrics said forevermore, forevermore, the memory. Please have them play it again, and I'll remember just when I've heard that lovely song
G from the Abolitionist Hour every Saturday, 12 p.m., where we broadcast the news that you won't find on cable. Ever wonder what Gen Z is up to? Have you heard of Generation U? Ever wonder why the old geezers are excited that something's going on since their days of living underground and avoiding the Vietnam draft? We cover these topics on the Abolitionist Hour, and we kind of give you updates on the front, whether it's Atlanta, Minneapolis, St. Louis, Kansas City. We'll keep you updated on news and information on the state of dismal prison conditions and why the Jackson County Jail is not just a stockade. It's a phone company. So join us at the Abolitionist Hour, only on Blog Talk Radio, 12 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll see you there.
And from the plains of Royal Mead, drunk men came hurrying through. While Britannia's Huns with her long-range guns came in through the foggy tears. Back to the glen I rode again, and my heart with grief was sore. For I parted them with valiant whom I never shall see more.
That's right. We have a definite lineup on the weekend every Saturday and Sunday. That's tomorrow at noon. And Sunday at noon, we've recently added Back in the USSR from Canadian Community Radio out of a place called Gluff. I don't even know how to pronounce it. G-L-E-U-P-H, I believe. I'll look it up for you. We'll get to know them. I ran them for the last few weeks. And Siegfried, I can't pronounce his last name, produces it from there. And it's a pretty neat show, very interesting. Let's get back to some oldies. And then I think we're going to play a Free Thought Radio classic coming up here.
Thank you.
stars, pull down the clouds, turn up the moon, do it soon. I can't enjoy this night without you. Shake down the stars, dry up the stream, stop all my dreams, cut up the breeze, do it please. I never thought I'd cry about you. Shake down the stars, I gave you my arms, my lips, my heart, my life, my love, my all. But the best that I had to offer you, I found was all too small. Crush every rose, hush every prayer, break every vow, do it now. I know I can't go on without you. Shake down the stars.
Harry Roy and his Bat Boy Orchestra there. That's what you're hearing. That was the Continental, one of the mainstay hits of his tour. His real name was Harry Lippmann. He's a clarinetist and came from Stamford Hill. And he was born in 1900. So he was in prime age, man, 1930s. When he was doing, during the 20s, he and his brother Sidney on the piano performed in places like the Alhambra and London Coliseum. And they had a tour in South Africa, Australia, Germany, and a three-year residency at the Café de Paris. Yeah, I like that. Coming up is more popular, another popular one, and it's called the Leicester Square. Yeah, it's Harry Lippmann. Lippmann. More famously known as Harry Roy. Sang some crazy songs. And yeah, I'm going to dig around here in my pile and find you one. Here's some of these funny ones he played.
Thank you. had none. But this little piggy was a wobbly wobbly piggy, and he did the Lindy all the way home. Wiggly wiggly piggy, wobbly wobbly piggy, the wobbly wobbly piggy with the... This little piggy did the conga. This piggy thought the waltz was divine. But this little piggy was a smart little piggy, and he boogie woogied all the time.
And this little piggy stayed home.
This little piggy was a boogie woogie piggy, boogie woogie all the way home. This little piggy had some roast beef,
and this little piggy had no home.
This little piggy was a happy little piggy, and did the Lindy all the way home.
Oink, oink, saucy little piggy.
Oink, oink,
funny little piggy.
Oi, oi, oi,
dilly, willy, 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 funny little twiggy.
This little piggy made the chopsticks and thought the waltz was divine. This little piggy was a happy little piggy, and he boogie woogied all of the time.
This upcoming hit, which really made him, it came out in 1931. And my God, he had a very colorful career, a very full career, many bands, and different famous members coming in, a piano duet, two pianos came in for a while. But this is the one that really put him on the charts, you might say.
I get it's my girl's pussy. Seldom plays and never purrs, and I love the thought it stirs, but I don't mind because it's hers, my girl's pussy. Often it goes out at night, returns at break of dawn. No matter what the weather's like, it's always nice and warm. It's never dirty, always clean, in giving thrills, never mean. But it's the best I've ever seen, is my girl's pussy.
Every chance I get, it's my girl's first free. Seldom plays
never burns, and my love for this burns. But I don't mind, because it's hers, it's my girl's pussy. So often, he goes out at night, and returns at break of dawn, no matter what the weather's like, it's always dry and warm. I bring tidbits that it loves, we do like two turtle doves. I take care to remove my gloves when stroking my girl's pussy.
But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Well, out your love is a honky-tonk parade. Well, out your love, it's a melody played in the penny arcade. It's a Bonham and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Yeah, that song always reminds me of I think the movie was largely filmed in Kansas. What was the name of it? I can't remember the guy's name. Ryan O'Neal and Tatum O'Neal later went on to be a successful movie star herself. Oh, Paper Moon. I can't remember the name of the movie. Maybe that's the name of it. You know, this is a live call in. The green room is open. We had a caller wanted to visit. You know, you can call in, and you don't have to go on air. Area code 646-716-8652 on Friday here. And thank you for calling in, wishing as well. Here's some more. Harry Lipman, also known as Harry Roy, and his brother, another classic Western.
Thank you.
I heard that song, Tumbling Tumbleweeds, on the cult classic. I wouldn't call it a cult. I mean, I guess I'm in the cult. Excuse me. I about rolled over on the recliner, the Tumbling Tumbleweeds comes on. Here is another blue hit, a blue hit from Harry Lipman, and it, another one that made the charts, you might say.
We'd like to tell you a story about a young girl, about 18 years old, about 5'2", and about to go out. Now her mother, realizing it was her first time out with a young man, called her into the bedroom and said, Minnie, you're all dressed up in your finery, your very best clothes, and you look beautiful. You're gorgeous. You're alluring.
You look swell, baby.
And now, Minnie, I want you to remember everything I've always told you, and above all, I want you to be very, very careful.
But she had to go and lose it at the after. She didn't take her mother's good advice. Now there aren't so many girls today who have one. And she'd never let it go for any price. They searched the place from penthouse to the cellar. In every room and underneath each bed. Once they thought they saw it lying on a pillow. But they found it belonged to someone else instead. But she had to go and lose it at the Astor. She didn't know exactly whom to blame. And she couldn't say just how or when she lost it. She only knew she had it when she came. They questioned all the bellboys and the porter. The chef appeared to be the guilty guy. And the doorman also acted quite suspicious. But he coyly said, I'm sure it wasn't I. But she had to go and lose it at the Astor. It nearly killed her mother and her dad. Now they felt as bad about the thing as she did. After all, it was the only one she had. They just about completed all their searching. When the chauffeur walked up with it in his hand, all they did was stand and gape. There was Minnie's fable cape, and she thought that she had lost it at the Astor.
Mr. Lipman had quite a career. I was looking through his Wikipedia page. He has one. And, I mean, I guess during the war, he became pretty famous through the film service, newsreel service, British Pathé. And it helped that last song, which came out in 1939, propelled it into the wartime, excuse me, the wartime entertainment industry. His band at that time during the war was called the Harry Roy's Tiger Ragamuffins. Ragamuffins. Tiger, what a name. very, very interesting and colorful guy. With a long career. He didn't die till 1971. So, I mean, it's sort of a phenomena of popular English music during that period. He really came along. I guess towards the end of his life, he didn't play a lot, but I did. He was fascinated, I guess, with Dixieland jazz of some sort. Here's one, another one. Let's just continue on. And again, you can call in and talk about Harry with me. That's 646 716-8652. I'd be more than happy to have you visit with me. We've had a couple callers. Thank you for the well-wishing. We enjoy Friday, especially afternoon. Coming up tomorrow is the Abolitionist Hour, and our new edition, Sunday, back in the USSR.
You better think twice before you walk off my lawn. Oh, take my advice. At least you know what you've got. So don't tear up my pictures. You'll be sorry if you do. You better think twice. Don't say we're through.
What a difference a day makes. 24 little hours brought the sun and the flowers where there used to be rain. My yesterday was blue, dear. Today I'm part of you, dear.
My lonely nights are through, dear, since you said you were mine. What a difference a day makes. There's a rainbow before me. Eyes above can't be stormy. Since that moment of bliss, that thrilling kiss, it's heaven when you find romance on your menu. What a difference a day makes, and the difference is you.
Thank you. lovely day to be caught in the rain. You were going on your way, now you've got to remain. Just as you were going, leaving me all at sea, the clouds broke, they broke, and oh, what a break for me. I can see the sun up high, though we're caught in the storm. I can see where you and I could be cozy and warm. Let the rain pitter-patter, but it really doesn't matter if the skies are gray. Long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day.
Times in different places by different orchestras led by Harry Lipman. Here's one, I'll pick it up a little bit. That was, oh, by the way, the vocals were with Bill Curry, who was not really a member of the band. 1936, this is where this comes.
Thank you.
else, 1935 when that came out. Sometimes we'll finish up the program today with some unusual, sometimes frivolous titles and subjects of the songs by Harry Lipman, aka Harry Roy. I haven't figured some of these songs out. Maybe you can. This one's Run Rabbit Run.
Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, 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 rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run. Bang, 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 bang goes the farmer's gun.
Ha ha, miss me.
Run, rabbit, run, run, run. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run. Don't give the
Live Livestock. Here's another one. Weird titles and interesting music. Our tribute to Harry Lipman.
Chicken run, but owing to conditions, I'm now down to one. I give her all the tidbits, the dear little thing, and just to keep her up to scratch, I go to her and sing.
Yes, you. And when I'm gone, you'll be so blue.
is who you're gonna dump across your rescue. You kind of think that you'll get by, but by and by you're gonna break right down and cry. You'll cry and cry. A good man's mighty hard to find. Barely hurry up and change your mind before you hold me close, say farewell and kiss myself goodbye. Oh, goodbye, 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 goodbye.
There you go. That's we got one more to conclude our musical tribute to Harry Lipman and his Tiger Ragamuffins, Bat Boy Orchestra, call the get together whatever you want, a jam session from the lead up to World War II, and this is one of the hits that came out in London during World War II and the Blitz, by the way. Is one of the hits, and we'll finish our show today. Thank you for calling in. You can always call in during the, now, Saturday and Sunday. The show is ran by, produced by Tristan, and if you call in, you'll get him in the green room. Most of the programming is recorded, so you'll be lucky to get on air at all. But you can visit with us, and thank you for calling in today and visiting with me in the green room. The green room is always open here at Radio Free Kansas. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great weekend. Black Album.
A big balloon,
and like the love light in your eyes,
they count like out the moon.